Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Over the last 8 years, Talk Straight has addressed many issues related to at-risk males. As your host, we've welcomed several authors and other guests to speak on this issue. The most important thing is to foster understanding and solution-oriented suggestions in the efforts of improving young lives. Now, unfortunately, over the years that have passed, have not been as successful as I'd like to have seen us in stopping the violence throughout America, in eliminating the despair and chaos that we see in too many urban American cities. However, there is a particular blend of experiences that represent a palatable solution. That is a combination of theological thought, how we think about this spiritually, a blend of the criminal justice system or law enforcement, a perspective on that, and fatherhood. Fatherhood is the primary, I would argue, antidote. So tonight, I want you to join me as I welcome my special guest, Reverend Dr. Frederick C. Shelton, who is the author of a powerful book. And I must say, in full disclosure, this is my natural big brother and spiritual brother as well, but a friend and someone who has the experience to back what he's talking about. This book, The Father's Name Legally Omitted, Struggle to Manhood. He's a pastor of Peace Be Still Fellowship in Columbus, Mississippi, as well as, after over 35 years, a retired law enforcement officer, retired at the rank of chief of police in the city of Columbus, as well as a retired military man. We're grateful tonight to have him, and we want you to join us tonight as we as he be our guest here. Y'all know the number to call, don't you? That number is 563-999-3617. That number again to call is 563-999-3617. Go ahead and get your place in queue. What I'd like to do is to share with you a hit from 1969. This group call themselves the Winstons. They produced this song, and I believe it's apropos to our discussion tonight. Go ahead and give us a call here, 563-999-37, and we'll look forward to engaging you in some substantive dialogue.
He goes to work each day, stays all day long. He comes home each night, looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite. Never a frown, always a smile. When he says to me, "How's my child?" I said that I've been studying hard all day and trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man father. I think I'll color him love. Then I'm gonna color him father. I think I'll color the man love, yes I will. He says education is the thing if you want to compete. Because without it, son, life ain't very sweet. I love this man and I don't know why. Except I'll be his friend until the day that I die. My mother loves him, and I can tell by the way she looks at him when he holds my little sister Nell. I heard her say just the other day that if it hadn't been for him, she couldn't have found her way. I think I'll color him father. I'm gonna color him love. I've got to color his father. I think I'll color this man love.
Right. Tonight we're going to be talking from the topic, the place of fatherhood in urban American communities. And that's where we bring our special guest in, the Reverend Dr. Frederick C. Shelton out of Columbus, Mississippi. Retired now, but not retired. He's just getting on the battlefield now, just getting on the battlefield. As I mentioned, he's the pastor of fellowship in Columbus, Mississippi, Peace Be Still, Peace Be Still, as well as he is working now with his nonprofit there, and I'll let him tell you a little bit more about it. But I'm honored again to have him. He's not a stranger to the show. He's been here before a few years ago, in fact, when he was chief of police there. But we're honored again to welcome you. Good evening, Dr. Shelton. How are you?
Good evening, Doctor. How are you?
Pretty good, sir. Pretty good. Honored to have you, and we to get your expertise. I'm excited to talk about this book, man. I want to hear about this thing here. The father's name legally, man, legally omitted.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us a little bit about your background. I shared a little bit, as much as you like, and then kind of introduce you to the book. And what is your basic thesis? And we'll kind of wrap our conversation around there.
Right, right. So this book was a labor of love. When I say it was a labor of love, there were some interesting things that I found out about my life.
Okay.
For years, I had a birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I decided I will look and see what's on my birth certificate. Right?
Okay.
And there where it says father's name, that was the word legally omitted.
Wow.
And originally there was no thought to that. Well, if it was legally omitted, surely there had to be a legal reason.
Sure.
But what happened as I began to dig deeper and find out why it was not there, it began to make me aware of a bigger problem.
I see.
When it comes to black males without having a father or a father figure in their life. It caused me to dig deeper to see what caused this, and not so much as what caused or what can I do, what can I do to help young men and older men that are struggling to find out who their father is and what that means.
I see.
One of the things,
okay,
that I discovered is that without having a father, there's so many aspects of being a man that you just don't learn, you shouldn't get. One of my favorite words I used to always say is, when it came to male authority, he can't tell me nothing, he ain't my daddy. And that is,
I've heard,
that's a dangerous attitude to take. That's a dangerous attitude.
Sure
to
is.
Say that
sure
can
is.
Another male figure tell you nothing? And I began to research, and as you know, as we discussed, my biological father was a pastor. Our dad, your dad was a pastor. So you would think, since I grew up in such a strong Christian environment, understanding what a father's love should have been no problem.
Right.
However,
right.
It was a problem, because one of the things I didn't learn is what a father love was and how a father is to pour into his son.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
And that's most
and it cost me. And then being in law enforcement for the number of years and being in the military, I saw where there was a breakdown.
Okay.
So law enforcement and military, they're more about discipline. So you have a male authority figure that tells you to do what to do, and you do it. It's either, they used to say, the key word is either training problem or discipline problem. We're going to train you. If that don't work, we're going to discipline.
Okay.
And you really had no choice, but go ahead.
Yes, sir. No, I was just going to ask you, so it sounds like your thesis here is that one of the answers or one of the factors to addressing some of the at-risk behaviors for males and unruly behavior, status offenses, and so forth, is coming to grips with understanding about authority and how it begins with your father. So is that a major part of your thesis for your book?
You have to,
okay,
in order to know where you're going, you have to identify where you came from.
Right.
So
in
my book, I point out two important things. I point out the importance of having a father,
mm-hmm,
and second of all, I point out what it means, the importance of having your father's name, because a name identifies you, it identifies where you come from, and it also helps guide you to where you're going. In the book, I discuss about how Jacob started out as a deceiver and as a thief, but he had an encounter. He had an encounter, and God changed his name, because the way if he had kept the name Jacob, he would continue to be a deceiver and be deceitful.
That's a priest right there, sir. That's right there. Yes.
We look at he had a problem with his brother because he stole his brother's birthright.
Watch it down.
I'm just saying. And then to understand that we have a heavenly father. David said like this, when my father and my mother forsake me, then you will come in and you will take me up. So what happens is young men are looking for who identifies them, who speaks into them. The Bible says it like this in Genesis, and God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't know who made us, what image, what likeness? So we have simply to do a simple media check and look at the headlines, and we see it. Are these people, politicians, movie stars, athletes, are these the people that are setting the right example for a man to say, okay, yeah, I want to grow up and be like him? What is that saying?
Right.
When I learned about this, and I can say this unequivocally and without shame, is it was when I met God the Father and understood his love for me. Then was I able to begin, and let's just tell the truth. There was some bitterness.
Okay.
There was some bitterness. Okay. Some bitterness.
Right.
Some bitterness.
Okay.
Some bitterness.
Okay.
I didn't get that love and nurturing, you know, you my son, and I want you to grow up and be something and be prosperous. I didn't get all that. I didn't get all that love and support. You know, this wasn't a proverbial Huxtable family. Bill Cosby wasn't my dad.
Right.
We wasn't the Jefferson.
Uh-oh.
We wasn't
okay.
The Evans family. No. We were the Shelton and Dockery family that lived in the project at Washington Park Homes on 41st Street.
All right.
And as you know, many other people that live in their fathers in their home either.
Absolutely.
So we grew up in a community of not having fathers. There were a lot of men. There were men in the picture. Yeah, there were men that slip in one door and slip out the other door. But there wasn't a lot of fathers standing at the home, raising and pouring into that child and providing them with life skills. And so I can say this about our dad. And your dad is that one of the things where he missed it in showing me that love and nurture. He did teach me one thing. He said, "Boy, you provide for your family."
All right.
Your family, and he was on disability, but he got out there and he hustled, and he taught me to do that. And we sold snow cones and we sold peanuts, but we were able to provide clothing for all 12 of the children. We would go to school with two sets of new clothing. But what was missing is the love. Where's the love? So how do I grow up and become a man and not only provide my family the physical things, but how do I provide them the spiritual and the emotional things like love?
Okay. Gotcha. Okay.
How do I teach you how to be a man? How do I teach you to handle a dispute?
Right.
Do you handle a conflict? How do you handle a conflict resolution?
Right. All those are
key things. And so, as I mentioned in the book, he told me, he said, "Look, I'm not your dad. I've been taking care of you since you 4 years, since you was 4 years old." So here's the thing I struggle with. How do I dislike a man that's been taking care of me? He's keeping a roof over my head. He's keeping food on the table. But yet, he's not showing me love.
Wow.
Hard struggle for a young you know, as an adult, it was hard for me to figure out. So imagine as a child, and imagine the young men in our society that are facing the same thing. They may have a man in their life, may not be their biological father, but they have a man in their life.
Okay.
So what are you showing me? Where's that part that you instruct me to how to be a man? So it's more than being a man than just making a baby. Come on now. As I alluded in the book, if child support was raising the children, I have that, because I paid child support. So I'm saying to men, if you're paying child support, that's good. But here's another part of that. You need to spend some time with that child. Introduce yourself to your child. If you can, if circumstances allow, mentor that child. Let them know how you feel about them. Interesting, in the book, I go with some statistics about how important a role a father plays in the learning and the development of his daughter.
Hold that thought. I got a call in queue, and we want to encourage those of you, if you follow us on Facebook Live, this is Talk Straight. This is your host, Brother Dockery. And tonight our topic is the place of fatherhood in urban American communities. Our guest is none other than Reverend Dr. Frederick C. Shelton. He is the author of a brand new book, and in a little bit he's going to tell us about how we can get that book. That book is entitled Father's Name Legally Omitted, The Struggle to Manhood. And it comes from a very deep and personal perspective, as well as based in his occupational background. What we're going to do, if you don't mind, Dr. Shelton, is I'm going to play an old commercial from We started this show 8 years ago, and it kind of speaks to what you're talking about right now. And then we'll open up the phone lines. I got Brother Josh out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee already. If you're listening, calling, you want to follow us here and call in and ask our guests questions, he'll be happy to entertain them. The number is 563-999-3617. Again, that number is 563-999-3617. Come on, get in where you fit in. Give us a call here. Our guest is Dr. Shelton, and we're looking forward to engaging you. On the other side of this brief break, we'll be right back.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
And all right. You're back. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we got our special guest on, Dr. Frederick C. Shelton. And he's here to speak about his book and about our topic, The Place of Fatherhood in Urban American Communities. Go to the phone line. Give us a call here, 563. You're following us on Facebook. Give us a call here, 563. This is in the studio tonight, 563-999-3617. All right, we go straight to our phone lines at Dr. Shelton. Josh, how you doing, sir? Welcome. You had a chance to hear our open and Dr. Shelton give his background there. Question or comment?
Yes, I do have something. How if you've been in the streets all your life and stuff like that, and then finally you have adopted a parent, how do you deal with it in a sensible manner if that isn't your biological parent?
Okay. Dr. Sheldon, you want to respond to that?
So what happens is, and what happened to me is that my change became when I accepted the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
It is not natural for us in our own natural being to be loving and unforgiving. However, it takes the power of God to understand
mm-hmm.
where I realized that the life that I was living was going to get me killed. As a
mm-hmm.
matter of fact, there are people in the neighborhood that where I grew up They're either still in prison or they're on the proverbial boot heel. So I made a change, and I realized that I was going to have to stop smoking my marijuana. Oh, my goodness. I know they want to make it legal now. But anyway, I had to stop. And I realized that there was a better life for me and that I had to make a personal change. I had to make a change. As I said, wasn't my biological father, but what he was taking care of, a very important aspect. He kept a roof over my head, and he kept food on the table.
Okay.
I rebelled, and I began to try to make my own way by hustling grocery and making a little money on the side. But if it wasn't for him, but I learned, and one of the things that happened is before he died, we did reconcile, and he told me, he said, you know, look, I was just trying to make sure you had the best life that you had. Because here's the honest truth. I wasn't an angel. I wasn't a perfect child. Yes, I was out there trying to. Yeah, I was a gang member. I was a gang disciple. Yeah.
Okay.
I was a disciple. Yeah, I had to do something to survive.
But the change
came when I was introduced to my Heavenly Father, and that's what made the change. So when I got in high school, I was introduced because, you know, I was going to church, but the church wasn't in me. Does that make sense? So I'm growing up in a household where the majority of the church was me and my family, the 12 of us. But however, I was just going because I had to go. I was made to go. And until I made that personal relationship with God and said, okay, God, now I need to seek you for myself. And that began to change. That's what began to change. And that's what helped me learn to accept what I needed to do and how to do it.
Okay. Did he answer your question, or do you have anything else you want to contribute to that?
How would you tell anybody else how to change their life if you could do that to somebody else?
Great question.
Right. What I would say is one of the things that I learned, I had a son that did some time. And I used to make sure that at least twice a month I went and visited my son. I just let him in prison. And I would go there and I would pray with my son and I would talk with my son. And the other guys used to come around and say, hey, Mr. Sheldon, would you pray for us? I said, I'm glad to. But here's one thing. Here's an OG. So for you don't know, OG is an old gangster. He said, Mr. Shelton, he said, look, I'm looking out for your son. But he said one of the things that's going to help him is he's going to have to change faces, places, and things. So what I would say, if you want to make a change, you're going to have to change the places you go, the faces that you are, and the things that you do. And I am a big advocate, and I'm not ashamed to say it. That begins with recognizing who your Heavenly Father is.
Yeah.
Because here's the reality. God wants to do more for you than you ever will want him to do.
Mm.
So if I could say it without sounding preachy, he says this in Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to an expected future.
All right.
John says this in verse 10:10. I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly.
Abundantly. Okay.
Uh-huh. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So here's what I'm saying. Any person, place, or thing that's killing, taking your joy, taking your peace, that's putting you in harm's way, let it go. Let it go. But you have to make that choice. You have to make that choice. And with that, I would say is that the education has to begin at home.
I see.
It has to begin at home. And I know it's not an indictment on the church. It's just the church we're going to have to do better. We need to have more than just a youth pastor or youth programs. We need some men to instruct our men how to be men from a godly perspective.
Okay.
So what did John 3:16 mean to me? For God so loved the world he gave him. When I'm caught up trying to sling dope and trying to make a living, man. How is that? How is accepting Christ as my personal Lord going to stop that, man, when I need money to buy shoes, when I need money to buy food, when I need money to buy clothing?
So you're saying from a more practical standpoint, I need to live today. I have a social, I have a physical and a social reality that doesn't match up or comport with what you're reciting word for word verbatim at that Bible, at that book. That ain't putting no money in
my pocket.
And it
ain't
paying no light. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. That's what I'm saying. Wow. That's what I'm saying. So how does a man navigate and show another man how to live with that? Because Jesus said this in John 16, he said, in this world, you're going to have trouble.
Mm-hmm. Watch out, man.
Joe said it like this. He said, man that is born of a woman.
Right.
You're going
right.
to have some trouble. You're going to have some trouble. You're going to have some trouble. But here's the thing Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome them. So how do you handle trouble? So we find many instances in the Bible where there were men that had trouble. Noah was a drunk.
Uh-oh.
Abraham was
Uh-oh.
A liar.
Watch it.
David
now.
Was a what? Murderer and an adulterer.
Okay.
But he got it right. Paul was going around killing Christians. They were not perfect people. They were not perfect people, but they changed their life.
I was telling Josh, 1 second, let you finish your thought. He had a question. He had a comment to chime in.
Yeah, but they had an encounter. We talk about Paul on the Damascus Road. He came and he met. So at some point, every man has to meet his reality about where you're going to spend the rest of your life. What are you going to do to keep a roof over your head? What are you going to do to keep shoes on your feet and keep clothes on your body? You're going to have to find your reality.
Right. Okay. Josh, go ahead, brother.
Okay, man. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that we shall live. Also, it says that in the first chapters of the Bible, we were made whole. We were perfect beings. So how is it that now, after two people did something that was crazy, everybody has to suffer?
Uh-oh. Did you hear that, Doc?
So I can say you're right. And that thing that happened is sin. So God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let us give him dominion. So, but what happened, we know what happened. We know the story in the second chapter when God said, look, I'm going to put you over here, and that of the tree of knowledge and good, don't eat of this. But the day that you eat of this, then you should die. So we know what happened. It's called the blame game. So the man blamed the woman blamed the snake. And so there we are. But here's what I want to say. Here's the beauty of that. In that, God had already had a perfect plan. By one man, sin entered into the world, and by one man, sin came to justify us. So, yes, it happened. Yeah. It happened. And that's what happens to man when he leaves God. Not that God has never left us. We leave God. Because if you can, as a man, if you look at your face in the mirror and you don't see the attributes of God, which is holiness, righteousness, kindness, justice, and peace, then you're not respecting his image. So what has happened is when sin came in, because what did Adam do? He hid. God said, where you at? I'm hiding. Why are you hiding? You hadn't been hiding before. And from that moment, his eyes became open. So it would have been good that we never came into knowledge of good and evil. But because God is such a just God, he gave us a choice. And so with that being said, my family, is we got to return back from that which created us. We got to return back to the Creator.
Okay. All right.
That's what. Right. Then Psalms 139 says that we were fearfully and wonderfully made in his likeness, in his image. If your life does not reflect God, which is our Heavenly Father, then you're out of sync.
All right. Let me jump in here. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Our topic tonight is the place of fatherhood. And I'm going to get my guests to hit on that a little bit, and let's get a functional definition. Fatherhood in urban American communities. Now, you know that since we've been airing here, we focused on urban American, and we had some callers not comfortable with phraseology, but I explained to them what an urban area is, and we have a lot of them in the United States of America, and they coincide with high crime rates, fatherlessness, single-parent homes, children that are in and out of juvenile detention and that are dying early, that correlates with young people that are in despair, that are frustrated. And so that's why we correctly identify who and what we're talking about. If you see me in the emergency room and I got a gunshot wound to my head, please don't play with my toes. Don't tickle my toes. Deal with the problem at hand. So that's what we do when we talk about talking straight here. Give us a call here, 563, right now. Get your phone out. 563-999-3617. I'd love to hear from you right here in the studio. We got another 30 minutes or so to go, and our guest is Reverend Dr. Frederick C. Shelton. He is the author, and I had the privilege of providing the foreword in the book, Father's Name Legally Omitted, The Struggle to Manhood. So, Dr. Shelton, if you will, sir, will you speak on functionally, how would you define fatherhood and in the context of it being a palatable, bringing fatherhood back in the lives of young people, being a palatable solution to urban American communities and the things that they face?
So when we look at the word father, we look at the word father. A father denotes a man.
That's right.
Created in God's image and his likeness that has a family, which is a wife. And so we know that God put Adam to sleep and took from him the rib and created a woman. And he put them together. And that was the first family unit.
Okay.
And before sin, they were living in paradise.
Okay.
But after sin, the father could no longer just cuddle up with the wife. He had to go and work by the sweat of his brow to provide.
Okay.
Because now they could have just went and picked it, but now the ground had to produce it because the ground was cursed. And he had to go extract from that. He had to work by the sweat of his brow to get that to feed not only himself, but to feed his wife, and then later on his children, Cain and Abel.
Okay.
So when I talk about fatherhood, I have to go to the biblical example of Abraham was the father of many nations. We look at Abraham took a wife. Her name was Sarah. And they were barren for years. But God told Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations.
Nations.
So
okay.
when I talk about fatherhood, that comes from, and I know in the urban environment, we look in where and God bless them, their mothers raising children. And thank God for what you're doing. And you're doing a great job. My hat's off to you. However, there's one little caveat. A mother cannot teach a child, a male child, to be a man. It takes a man to teach a man to be a man. It takes a man to teach a man. So with that being said, when I say fatherhood, what we need more is the family unit of the father, because the father should be the prophet, the priest, the provider, and the protector of the family. The four P's, provider, the prophet, the provider, and the protector. All that comes with being a father and comes with fatherhood. So it's not just you make a couple of babies and you got one here on the north side, you got one on the south side. If you're not past child support, that's not a real fatherhood. If you're not supplying your child's needs financially, which again, by the way, is illegal, and second one, it's not according to God's rule. God wanted us to take care of our children, and that's why God gave man the ability and the strength to work, to use his muscles, to use his intellect to provide for his family.
So now, gentlemen, let's be clear that this problem did not just pop out of nowhere.
No, sir. It
has been brewing over time, and you talked about in your growing up and your circumstances. Now, it's easy. I hear somebody saying, well, there are some women that did a good job raising their children. They were successful. Some of them were professionals and things of that nature. And I want to echo what you said, Dr. Shelton. Congratulations. We don't want to take that away from you. The reality is, though, data and the statistics, what we see is that there's a correlation between crime, incarceration, and poor education that begins in the third grade. Documentation of social conflict that follows them throughout latency in life, and many of them, if they live, they wind up sometimes, sadly, addicted on drugs or alcohol, incarcerated, or they don't make it through life. They die early. And that's what we're talking about. That's why we're talking about it, because it's real in 2024. Y'all know that I've been saying every year, I tell you that every month we're getting closer to the end of the year, and we talked about New Year's resolution. But I've said we're looking for more in 2024. How do you get there? How do you get there? And you got to tell the truth.
The four of my book on page 63 is a very interesting, is a very interesting topic about poverty. And this comes from the U.S. Census Bureau, Children Living Arrangements and Characteristics. And it says that children and father absent homes are almost four times more likely to be poor in 2011. 12% of children in married couples, families were living in poverty compared to 44% of children and mother-only families.
Wow. Okay.
And you talk about crime, drug abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, physical and emotional abuse. That's one of the things that we're looking at too. Is we're not only facing these crime and this, but mental and emotional development.
Mm. Mm. Okay.
So not only is that child. Not only do you got to fight all this, but now you got these other ones. You got mental illness. For the lack of nurturing and love and being taught.
Yeah. So there's a number of factors here is what I'm hearing. Not just one thing, but there are a number of things that we look at. And I think that speaks to what you were talking about this being a value permeating certain neighborhoods and communities. We're at a point, Josh, where things have gotten so bad that you've run the neighbor out of the neighborhood. And you can't have a community without a neighborhood. You can't have a neighborhood without neighbors, right? Families being able to live together and coexist in a certain distance or geographical location. Joshua, as a young man, do you see hope moving forward? Because I hear Dr. Shelton as well, a lot of young people say, well, that's why I ain't going to have no children, and I'm not going to try to get married because it's been a colossal failure by so many. And I want Josh to speak to that, Dr. Shelton, and you can kind of respond to that for me as well once he's finished. What's your thought on that, Josh?
Well, it is going to be help for a while, and then soon the Antichrist and everything is going to go downhill, I think.
Okay.
So, yes, there will be a time. It says it in the Bible. There will be a time for everything. It says that there's a time and a season for everything.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
So,
okay.
So,
okay.
So let's
speak within, let's speak within the next 5 to 10 years. Okay. I think it's reasonable to believe that you and I be around here around that time, at least anyway. Is there something we can do to turn this trajectory around for young, particularly males? And I normally say African-American, but any males, particularly in urban Americans, what we see is young males that you see on the news causing the mayhem, carjacking people, robbing folks, breaking into stores, crack, smash, and grab, and things of that nature. Let's put the oil where the sweet is now. If anybody don't know what I'm talking about, let me make it clear. Let me break it down to you like you're 3 years old. So that's what I mean. So, Dr. Sheldon, in this immediate moment, well, what can we do, brother? What can we do to directly address this in a loving way? You know, because sometimes people think that you just hard on them, and I don't know that you should warehouse people to send them to jail. What can we do on this end before they go to jail? That's what I'm asking.
So, Dr. I would say it begins at the home. It begins at the home. So what I mean,
okay.
So the Bible says in Malachi 4:6, he will turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers.
That's right.
So that
That's right.
I will not come and strike the land with complete destruction. It is interesting, Dr. that also in Luke 1, the first chapter, when the angel Gabriel was talking to Zechariah the priest, he quoted the same thing. So there has to be a return of the fathers to the children.
My God, help us, Holy Ghost. Help us, Holy Ghost.
What I see in my mind is that because there's fatherlessness, no one is teaching the young men how to be fathers. No one is teaching them how to be different. So what I say, mm-hmm. what I say is this, look at this, look at this. When you look at the young men that are in prison, they do some of the most beautiful artwork with no supplies.
Oh,
they don't give them paint in jail. they tattoo each other and tat each other from the neck all the way down to the toes.
Wow.
With no professional tattoo equipment,
correct,
they know how
correct.
To take a pound of marijuana, distribute it, pay $1,000 for however they pay for it, and make money back out. That's called business sense.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Entrepreneurial.
Which shows me that there's an entrepreneurial spirit that's in them.
Right.
But who's going to teach that young man that there's a better way? We're going to have to take what – so here's the thing. So you want me to come off the street, say I'm slanging and I'm making a couple of thousand a week. You want me to stop selling drugs and go to a grocery store and pack it up grocery and get minimum wage, maybe $10 an hour, and work a 40-hour week.
Or you want me to stop doing that and go
to school – and go get a 4-year degree, which I'm not guaranteed that I'm going to get a job when I get out of college.
Okay.
So what you're saying is that it's got to be, when we take something away, what are we going to replace it with? So that comes with training, comes with men that have been there, that have seen that. So, and I don't want to get into the recidivism rate. That's why they could go back to the same thing. Because nobody, when they come out, you're a convicted felon. Okay, so I didn't pay my debt to society. We live in a restorative justice system. Once I do my time, I didn't pay my debt. But then you're still penalized because you can't get a job because you're a convicted felon. But there's now legislation that come. You can get an expungement, my brother.
Absolutely.
And depending on the felony that you're convicted, although you can still have a right to vote. So but nobody's educating them about that.
Absolutely. Right.
So what I'm saying is that it's going to take instruction from men that have been there, that have been through the system, that understand what's going on, to teach the younger men that, hey, there's a better way. It's not going to be, I'm telling you, it's not going to be pretty. No, you're not going to be able to walk around with Tommy Hilfiger shirts on and with a $1,000 Gucci belt and $400 Jordans. No, it ain't going to happen, bro. It ain't going to happen. It's going to take what Adam did. You're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow.
I see. So you're saying while it's not necessarily easy, it is possible. It's attainable.
It is possible. It is obtainable. You can do it. There are numbers of success stories. So I talk about in my book how Mr. T in the project, Adam Miguel project.
That's right.
Michelle Obama grew up in Parkway Gardens, known as the O Block. She grew up in the project, and she became the First Lady of the United States of America. Jennifer Hudson went to Dunbar.
That's right.
She grew up in the hood. Okay.
That's right.
So if these people could make it, and so Michelle said when she was growing up, the neighborhood didn't appear like that. Well, she was a small child, and I didn't see it either.
Right.
But that's the environment. So what I'm saying is you can change your environment. But it's going to take some work. I will be wrong to say it's not going to be. It's going to be hard. It's going to take some discipline. But here's what I know. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Ah. And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. All things work together for good. All things work. It may not sound good, it may not smell good, it may not look good, but it's going to work. That's that four-letter word that we don't like. You know, you say that four-letter word like that, you're going to curse me out. W-O-R-K. Oh, that W-O-R-K. Not that W-O-R-K. Man, I really call me the N-word, but don't curse me talking about I got to do the W-O-R-K.
Okay. Let me do this.
You forgot the last part. For the good of who? God.
All right.
You forgot that part. The good God.
We concur. Let me do this before. We got about maybe 7 minutes or so before our hour for the evening is closed. Will you talk to our listening audience, Facebook friends there, those that are following us on the live stream and on the Blog Talk Radio platform, how can we get the book? Where can we get it and how? When is it available and that sort of thing?
The book is available now on Amazon.com. So we have the paperback. You can order the paperback, or you can download the ebook on Kindle. So if you don't feel like reading, you can be read to. So it is available now. It is available now.
Affordable read. It's an easy read, a great read. I've had the opportunity to read it myself. An affordable read.
$12.99. Life-changing information. So doctor, you know, one of the things they said, if you want to keep something from a black man, do what?
Put it in a book. That's what they say now.
Ah.
That's what they say.
That was the number one thing they did not want us to do. Right. That's going back to what you said. That's how important education and knowledge is. The number one thing they would kill us by, we learn how to read.
Right.
Or we learn how to write. They would kill us.
My brother,
go to school. I was telling my daughter, I was the school I went to, Grantham University, they'll supply you with your laptop. All you got to do is take the courses. They'll start you out with a laptop. And you can get free. You can go to McDonald's and sit and get free Wi-Fi. Take just one class. If our forefathers bled and fought and died so that you can have a right to vote and to go to school and to learn, that's the one thing you should do, my brother.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a fact. That's a fact. That's a fact. Okay. I thoroughly appreciate it. If you're just tuning in to us, you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Brother Dockery, and our guest tonight is Reverend Dr. Frederick C. Shelton, a retired police chief out of Columbus, Mississippi. He is now the pastor of Peace Be Still Fellowship, as well as he has a 501c organization there in Columbus, which is Peace Be Still as well. And he's still busy now, and he's going to be touring with his book here. And we're grateful to hear about it. Father's Name, Legally Omitted, Struggle to Manhood, Struggle to Man. There are so many good brothers out there, Doc, who have similar stories, but they've never been able to articulate it in this manner. So we're grateful for you pinning this experience. So I believe it's certainly going to be a blessing to a great many people, to a great many. Right now, if you're listening, make up your mind. I'm going to go get this book. I'm going to get the book. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to share it with my brother, with my son, with my nephew, my grandchild, friend, my neighbor. And tell us again where we get that at, Dr. Joe, where we get the book at.
Amazon.com. It's also available at Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. Okay.
Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. All right, so go on out there and get the book there. And we're going to have you come back again. I know you're probably busy
Absolutely.
Now because you're promoting the book and talking about it and what have you. I had the privilege of coming when he was chief of police and sharing some things with the department there as well as around the city. We were doing a traveling tour, and he was gracious enough to help us to usher around to different a few organizations there that he was working with there. And you're still doing that type of stuff with Peace Be Still now in the greater Columbus area, I'm sure. Is that right, Doc?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So a lot of work to be done. And I hear despair in the voices of a great many people, but I want people to understand that beyond the ugly, nasty vices socially, politically, times. I hate to say it. People are finding experience in hurt in churches. But beyond that, there is truth. There is a reality in God's word, and there's hope. Job said that if a tree is cut down at the roots and dried up, that there's hope that just a spraying of water, my God, it'll sprout again. That's something. Ain't that something like that? That's some good. That's good news right there, man. That means it ain't no. I want one last question before we let you go, Josh. I'm coming to you, Josh. But before I let you go, Dr. Shelton, how many times does a little greasy, bubble-eyed, nappy-head guy like Dockery get to mess up before you throw the towel in on? How many times? How many times did you give me another chance?
The fight is never over because that one person, that it, you know, so it goes, the old saying is, it only takes a spark to start a fire. But if you can ever get that spark. So we can't give up on our young men. There's so much talent that's waiting to be birthed, and they're waiting for somebody to spark them. So if I can be a spark, Reverend Dockery, I do have to send a shout-out to my publishing company, Cool Bird Publishing. I have to send a shout-out to them. Because
here's one of the
things that along with me and inspired me to get where I am is tell your story. Tell your story. Somebody out there, somebody, that young man, some young woman, somebody is out there listening, waiting for an idea on how they can make it. You don't know how your story can change somebody else's story and make them have a better story. Tell your story. Tell your story. Tell your story. tell your story.
All right. Well, that's a powerful thing. Let me get a final thought from Brother Josh, and then we'll let you wrap it up with whatever you want us to know in any way, if someone would like to, can do that. Josh, thank you for joining us, my friend. Anything, a final thought before we leave there, Josh?
Josh is the master of all things, present, past, and future, and you what is his name again?
Shelton, Dr. Shelton.
Dr. Shelton,
yes,
you
sir.
Did a marvelous job in what you believe and what you are doing.
Right. All right. Well, thank you very much there. We appreciate that. Well, Doc, you want to wrap us up with any other information you'd like for us to know? I know we can get the book at Amazon. We can go to Books of Millions. You can go to Barnes and Nobles. Or you can get it at Kindle, online Kindle.
Right.
All right. And go ahead and take the floor. Any other information you'd like for us to have before we wrap it up for tonight?
Right. If anyone wants more information, they can. My email is pbsoc16eff21@gmail.com. Again, that's pbsoc16eff21@gmail.com. And that phone number is 662-435-6154. 662-435-6154. And I will be glad to come and to teach and instruct your young men, your young ladies, on how we can obtain a better life, even in this urban environment we're living in.
You know, I failed to mention, Dr. Shelton, that you are a Frayne Maxwell speaker and presenter. Before I would be remiss on the floor to talk about that, and as well as a Toastmaster, a member of Toastmaster. He's trying to train me and get me right for Toastmaster, so y'all pray for me that I do right there. Talk to us about your Maxwell, as your what you're going to be doing when you promote your book and what have you, about your experience with Maxwell.
Right, and so one of the things again is learning how to speak professionally. And so with that being said, I'm licensed to teach John Maxwell material. It's a leadership platform. And one of the things I learned out is people say, well, I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. We're all leaders. So going back to what we said in Genesis, he created man to what? Have dominion. And so many young men are hiding their potential because they don't know. You're supposed to dominate. We dominate
that's
in sports, don't we? So it's beyond the basketball court. You can dominate in business. You can dominate in finances because you was creating his image. You was created to have dominion, and so I want you to have dominion. So that's part of what I do. We do leadership. We do coaching to help you get to where you need to be. It's amazing. I found out when I was life coaching. So people now have to be coached on how to live. So there's hope. So the next author, the next preacher, the next police, the next teacher, the next doctor, he's out there waiting for someone to say, come along, you can do it. You can make it. You can make it.
I love
it. You can make it.
I love
it. Somebody wants to help you. Somebody wants to help you.
Yes,
so they want
they want
to give you a hand up, not a hand out.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to take that with me and run with that, man. I'm going to run that ball all the way down the field. Josh, don't let me burn you. I'll juke you, man. Listen.
if you're not playing for the Chicago Bears, I ain't with you, bro.
Uh-oh, Josh, uh-oh. All right. Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate that. And we're going to wrap it up for tonight. We've been listening to Talk Straight. Our topic was the place of fatherhood in urban American communities. We've been honored to have our guest, Reverend Dr. Frederick C. Shelton, author of this powerful book, Father's Name Legally Omitted, The Struggle for Manhood. And we're grateful, and we'll have him come back again. And with that, though, we'll look forward to seeing you on next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight. Again, this is your host, Doug Dockery, and we're looking forward to seeing you then. We're going to leave with the Winstons. They're going to finish up, tell him, Father. All right. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
And we got killed in the war. And she told me his 7 kids couldn't have gotten very far. She said she thought that she could never love again. And then there he stood with that big wide grin. He married my mother and he took a man. And now we belong to the man with that big wide grin. I'm not going to color this man's father. I'm going to color him love.